Amen. What a God worthy this morning of standing in awe of Him and His greatness and His presence. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank You for this morning. Lord, I thank You for Your many and abundant blessings on us already just this morning with life and health and strength and fellowship and opportunity to come together and again lift our hearts in praise and worship and adoration to You who are so, so worthy of all of our praise. Lord, I pray this morning as we open Your Word that You would fill us truly with an awe of Your presence and Your goodness. Lord, that You would speak here this morning to each heart, that Christ would be glorified in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to start out in Colossians chapter 1, and sometime I may end up trying a preach through of the book of Colossians. I don't typically do that style as much, but Colossians chapter 1, let's start with verse 25, and here Paul is speaking of the faith that's been given and preached and passed down to us, and of God reconciling us to Himself through this grace that is so abundant. And he says here in verse 25, he says, "Whereof I am made a minister." I'm made a preacher and a minister of this grace, this faith. God in Christ reconciling you and I to Himself. He says, "I am made a minister of this according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." So he says there's this mystery, this thing that's been hinted at, it's been pointed to, it's been prophesied all down through the ages. He says from ages and from generations, there's this thing that's been, that everything's been building up towards and pointing towards. And it is a mystery. Nobody's really been able to fully wrap their mind around, figure out, or comprehend what was coming. But he says it's now made manifest. That means it's been made obvious and clear and visible to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery in the Gentiles. God desires for us, His people, His saints, to know this mystery and this, the riches, He says, of this glory. And it's even extending to us, Gentiles. He says, this is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that truly is a mystery. I want to look this morning at that mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, he says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." What is this mystery? The mystery is Christ in me. What's mysterious about that? Well, first of all, that He would have any desire to be in me, right? Why would the King of all creation, the Lord of all the earth and all creation, who created everything, why would He desire to be in me? It's love and mercy and compassion beyond my comprehension. I can't understand it. Why would He want to be in me? Truly, this kind of love and grace is unprecedented. It's mysterious. It's unnatural. It's not something that's happening all over the place. Christ in you, if you look and compare Christianity to every other religion that claims to have a way of reaching whatever they call it, heaven, nirvana, whatever they want to call, some happy place after the difficulties of this life, every one of them, it is based on what you do and how you fulfill and how you do this and how you do that. And nowhere in any religion, anywhere in the world, does any being who is God and King and leader and all-powerful and mighty come and dwell in you and make it possible. In every other religion, it's you trying to somehow pacify and stretch and reach to this higher deity, this higher being who maybe hates you, certainly hates the way that the world is running and everything, but isn't reaching out any way of salvation, isn't reaching out to make it possible for you to come to Him. And by no means would He ever lower Himself to be in you and me. But Christ, in this unprecedented way of salvation, which is totally different in every respect from all other religions and ideologies in the world, He chose and desires to be in His people. That is a mystery. Why would He want and desire to be in me? That's part of the mystery. Here's another part of the mystery. Another part of the mystery is that He can and does dwell in His people. That He can, that this infinite God is capable of, that it's possible for Him to take up residence in the human heart. That an infinite God can take up His dwelling in a finite being. That is incomprehensible. It's a mystery. How can that be? How can that be? It's a mystery. Another part of this mystery is why this, and this part is a mystery to those who are around us. Why we as believers live the way we do. Why we have different purposes and goals, and why we live in this world but not for this world. Why our purposes and our desires and the reason we get up in the morning and the reason that we do the things we do and the way that we do them, it doesn't make sense in relation to this world. It's a mystery. It's mysterious. It's like, why do they do those things? Why are they living the way that they are? It's Christ in you that's generating those things. That's mysterious to those around us. Why? Why are you different? Why are you doing what you do? Why are you living in this world just like I am, but yet you're clearly not living for it in the same way that I am? It's mysterious. It doesn't make sense to the natural human mind. Another part of this mystery is the mystery of the difference that it makes in a human life when Christ indwells. It is night and day different. You can take a person who is strung out on drugs and alcohol and their life is an absolute wreck and they have no hope and they're discouraged, they're depressed, they're trying to commit suicide, whatever the situation, you can take the most broken, battered, messed up human heart and life, and Christ indwells that person. It is night and day different. How? It's a mystery. It's a mystery that isn't comprehensible by the human mind, and especially not by the natural human mind outside of the revelation of the Spirit of God in the heart. It's a mystery, the difference that it makes in a life when Christ dwells in it. Here's another part of the mystery, how it gives us hope for glory. You look at all the other religions of the world, and the best they can do is to say, well, if you do everything you're supposed to do, hopefully, maybe, if you, you know, keep your fingers crossed, hopefully, maybe you'll get a chance to actually arrive at this eternal goal of heaven or nirvana or whatever it is that they're pursuing. But there's no actual substance to their hope to hang on to. There's no actual substance of a hope of glory. Christianity is unique in that. And it is because of Christ in us that we can have hope of glory. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. If it's dependent on me and what I can do, I already can tell you right now, every one of us failed. I can call the game long before we get to the finish. We all failed. We're all done for. Nobody's going to make it to heaven. There's no hope for any of us except if it comes supernaturally through Christ Jesus' life in us. This is not unrelated to something I've already touched on, but another part of this mystery is how we as Christians, when Christ is living in us, is dwelling in us, we're living in this world, and we have the same things happen to us that happen to everyone around us. Christians, when war happens, Christians aren't above that or beyond that, where they're never affected by it. We look at someone like last week, we looked at the life of Daniel a bit, how he was affected by wickedness of those around him, wickedness in his country. And when God's judgment came on the country of Israel, Daniel also was affected, though his heart was pure and right towards God. So we as Christians, we're living in this world, we're affected by the things around us, but not nearly so affected and not nearly so deeply affected by the ever-changing, ever-morphing and happening, changing world around us, because we're not living for this world. It's a mystery how we can be experiencing the same things they're experiencing, but they're getting bitter and sore and bent out of shape and angry and frustrated, and we can have peace and joy. We can have confidence that God is still on the throne, that He knows what He's doing, nothing happens without Him allowing it, and that He will sustain me through whatever He allows to come my way. Not that I'll avoid all difficulties, but that through it, He will uphold me. It's a mystery that is accomplished by Christ dwelling in me. Jesus made multiple different places, He made promises to this effect of Him and His Father coming and dwelling in the believer. In John chapter 14, verse 18 through 23, He says, I will not leave you comfortless. He's speaking about when He returns back to heaven. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Christ Jesus here is promising, as He abides and lives and dwells in His Father, so we can and will abide in Him and Him in us. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and the Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That means we're going to come and live with him. How are we going to know and see you and feel your presence? I'm going to live with you. That's how. Christ in you. And you see here, Judas, right along with the rest, confused, saying, wait, how is this going to work? It's still a mystery at this point. It's still a mystery. It's still mysterious. Like, how does this work? How am I going to know you? How am I going to sense your presence? How am I going to feel you? And the world around me isn't going to see you or know you. He says, I'm going to come and live in you, me and my Father. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, Paul here says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This sounds a little mysterious. Right? I'm dead, but yet I'm still living, but yet not I. Okay, I'll explain it for you. This is how it's going to make the most sense. Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the answer to this mystery that's been foretold all down through the ages leading up to this point, is Christ living in me. That's how this can be accomplished. That's how sinful, worthless worms who crawl around in the dirt and are made of the dirt can be lifted up to be brought and adopted by the King of all kings and brought to heaven for eternity. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, he says, of which salvation, this salvation which we have experienced, he says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you and to me, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. He says, this is the mystery. These men of God in previous times, they were prophesying by the inspiration of God the crucifixion of Christ and all these amazing, life-changing, unnatural things that were going to come from that, and they couldn't really understand fully. It was still mysterious. They couldn't really fully understand. What am I talking about? What am I writing about? What is this that God's revealing to me? And it says that, he says here that they diligently studied and searched and tried to figure out, what is this mystery? What is this mystery? There's some really amazing good things coming. He says, it was revealed to them that it's the things that are happening now to us through Jesus Christ. Christ in me. That is a glory beyond and above anything they could comprehend. Christ in me. All throughout the Old Testament, we see the prophets prophesying these amazing promises. They didn't really know what they were prophesying. One of them we'll just look at quickly, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. He says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. God is promising here in the Old Testament, I will come and live in you, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. That's us. That's us who aren't Jews naturally. He says, many nations will be joined to the Lord in that way, in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of them. I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. This is prophesied in the Old Testament, God indwelling his people. This is one of those things that Peter was talking about, that they were prophesying, and they're going, man, this is incredible. This is great. When is this happening? How do we become part of this? And they're searching, they're digging, they're looking to see this mystery, to understand this mystery. God himself, God Almighty, is going to come and live in us. How is that? And they dug and pursued and realized this isn't for our generation, for their generation. This is what we now are experiencing. Christ in us, dwelling in his people, living in our midst. And we know him personally. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. They didn't know what it was, the fulfillment was going to look like. But they were prophesying by the inspiration of God. All these wonderful, amazing things. Peter says it was glory that was waiting. They knew it was going to be spectacular and amazing. They just couldn't quite get a glimpse of what it was going to look like. But they knew it was coming. They knew it was going to be great. They knew it was mysterious. And they searched and dug diligently until they found out. Oh, that's not for us yet, but it's coming to the people of God. And now it's here, and we are living in it, the reality of that. God dwelling among his people. Him dwelling in us, in our midst, and causing us to know him. That's amazing. And a more complete fulfillment is yet coming. In the New Jerusalem and in eternity in heaven, as God takes up a visible, physical presence among us and in us. But we are living a huge, amazing part of that glory that should follow that Peter was talking about, even now at this moment, because we have Christ dwelling in us. All the saints up until the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they desired and they longed to know God more intimately. They longed to have him dwell and live in them and purify them and cleanse them. We see that again and again and again as we read through the Psalms. Cleanse me, O God. Search me, O God. David says, I don't want to live a single moment outside of your presence. He says, one thing I've desired, and I just want to stay in your presence forever for the rest of my life. We now, as New Testament believers, are experiencing that truly in a way that we can't even comprehend. God dwelling in us and us dwelling in him. Opening our eyes to understand. That was one of the promises Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit, when he comes and dwells in us and through him, Christ and his Father dwell in us, that we will have our eyes opened to understand and to comprehend these things that are not naturally able to be comprehended and understood. All the saints down through the ages, their desire, their longing, their cry was, God, I want to know you more. Moses got so bold as to say, God, I know that it's going to kill me, but I want to see you. What a way to go. What a way to die. In that moment of glory, seeing God. Who cares if it kills me? I want to see you and know you. And we see that heart cry of God's people, his true people down through the ages. Always, God, I want to know you more. I want to see you more. And now, since Christ has come and opened up this way of salvation and sent the Holy Spirit, you and I have the privilege of experiencing this that every saint of God has desired, Christ in me, and I in him. It's amazing. It's amazing. I want to look at a couple of places in Romans where he speaks of Christ dwelling in us and how that produces a hope of glory. And when the Bible talks about a hope of glory, it's not like, it'd be great, I hope so. It's described in Hebrews as being an anchor, sure and steadfast, that you can fasten your entire life to, and it will not move. So that's the kind of hope of glory that we have through Christ in us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is mind-blowing. That is what all humanity is seeking. Through every degradation, self-mutilation, pursuing of everything that they think, abandoning all the things that they would prefer, but they think they need to abandon to get right with a deity. All of these things, it's all desirous and seeking after peace with God. But he says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God through Christ Jesus being in us. We can have peace with God and we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 through 17, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of him, of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Right? We have peace with God. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Joint heirs with Christ. This is this hope of glory, man. This is incomprehensible. This hope of glory is that we not only are redeemed and sanctified, but Christ dwells in us. And he makes us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's the hope of glory, my friend. That's the hope of glory. And it says back up in verse 10 that that comes to us if Christ be in you. Ties right back to Colossians where we started, where Paul says this is the mystery. This is what's been waiting to be revealed all up until now, until Christ came and died and rose again and the Spirit was poured out, he says, God now desires for us, his people, to know the riches of his glory and to know this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Truly, absolutely incomprehensible. But this mystery has now, by the Holy Spirit, been revealed, and it's God's desire to continue to reveal to his people more and more as we walk with him the riches of his glory in this mystery. The glory of this mystery of Christ dwelling in me and in you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, first of all, that you desire to dwell in us. Lord, that you can and that you do dwell in us as your people. And Lord, thank you for the difference that that makes. Help us, Father, to grow in our understanding and to grow in our realization or our comprehension of this mystery, which has been a mystery through the ages, but is now being revealed more and more to your people as we walk with you, the glories of Christ dwelling in me. And that producing a hope, a hope sure and steadfast and that fadeth not away, a hope of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.